Welcome to this edition of Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I thank you for joining us every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. And we stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com, and we archive these programs at richarddugan.com. Go to the radio shows page link, and you'll find, I think, pretty close to 200 programs. We're getting there. We're actually about ready to celebrate our fourth anniversary. And so we're very excited about that coming up in September of 2011. Another thing that's coming up in December of 2012, well, two things, actually. One, you have no clue about. I can tell you right now, you know nothing about this. I don't know. I'm hoping it will happen. And that is that my wife and I actually we're looking at a big plan of spending, wow, wouldn't this be exciting? A month vacation in Ireland? Wouldn't that be fun? So we're looking at 2012 being there and having a good time. So we got plenty of time to plan for it. And I'm certainly hoping that will come about. Can use all the good energy that you can send our way in that regard. It'll be a lot of fun. Of course, the other thing that you know about is December 21st, 2012, which, well, that's also my anniversary, and it'll be my 10-year anniversary, but it is also the culmination of a lot of people's thinking and their theorizing based upon information from various sources, prophecies, whether it be the Mayans or the Native Americans or whatever other group that you want to list as to what is going to happen December 21st, 2012, or just what's going to be happening as we get closer and closer to that date. I have to be honest with you, my perception, and this is on a physical level, with all of the fear-mongering that's going on, that aspect of it is going to pan out just like Y2K did. Nothing happened. The world did not come to an end. Computers continued to work. I think that there's more to it on an internal level. We're going to find out about that. I may be wrong. The planet could be flipped on its poles for all I know, and we're all going to be just fine, and it's just a natural occurrence that happens in the universe. Then again, I get the distinct feeling that it might be more of a spiritual event that takes place within us as an individual, as a people, as a society. And we're going to find out more about that as we talk with a returning guest to our program. It's been a while since she's been on our program, Toni Elizabeth Sarraw, sacredspaces.com. And Toni, I want to welcome you to our program. It's a pleasure to have you back.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here. And I agree with you. It's going to be much like Y2K.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I remember talking with somebody who knew, they mentioned this woman back in the 50s who was asked this question. Now, this woman was very intellectual. She was into the computers. She was, you know, in that mindset. And they even asked her, well, what's going to happen at the end of this century with the computers? And she basically said, nothing. It's just right. It's just going to continue on. It'll roll over. Don't, you know. And I think that certainly last year, 2010, that movie came out by the same name, not Y2K, but of 2012. I haven't seen it. I really don't have any plans to see it. I would put it under the category of action adventure, I suppose, but it has no basis in reality other than the reality that some people want to create. You have a summit, Summit 2012, Beyond Chaos, speaking of the movie, which has a lot of chaos in it from the trailers I've seen. But I'm curious about when you say Beyond Chaos, because we've talked a lot about the subject of chaos on this program, and how if you were to watch the universe unfold, if you were able to get the big picture and just watch events unfold, that on one level it may look chaotic, but in actuality it's just going through its rhythms, its cycles. It's just doing what the universe does. Isn't that the same thing that's going on as we talk about and put the name of 2012 on this whole thing when we talk about chaos?
Oh, yes, I agree. And one of the things that I like to point out to people is that the idea of chaos, much like you said, the fear-mongering that's going on, mm-hmm. the idea of chaos, and like the 2012 movie, which I haven't seen either, nor am I going to, there's been a very pejorative sort of connotation placed on that word as though anything that is chaotic is quote unquote bad.
Yeah.
What chaos is really saying is more information is attempting to get into the system. And if you want to think about the age old story of the goblet that is created to the tune of C or the note of C, and then you strike a tuning fork next to it that mm-hmm. is tuned to C, and the goblet breaks. The goblet's breaking because it wants to receive more information from the tuning fork into it, and it can't in its present form. So when we're talking about chaos, we're talking about more information trying to enter the system. To do it, it has to destroy the system. And we don't like the word destroy, and we don't like the word chaos. We want to talk about order. Well, we want to talk about construction.
Yeah.
But if you look at nature, I'm looking out the window right now, this beautiful forest that we live in, and I watch the leaves fall, and I watch the ground get all messy and mulchy and icky in the wintertime so that the new growth can come up in the spring. It's the same sense of order that you're talking about from the universe, and we're experiencing that in a huge way. Look at what's happening on the planet right now everywhere. I just did a movie called Revolution is Coming Full Circle and put it on YouTube because I got a kick out of thinking about the word revolution and what the world has done with it. The word revolution means revolve.
Yeah.
It means it's coming around. So mm-hmm. when you get enough people suppressed enough, what you're doing is you're asking for chaos. You're asking for more information. And to do that, you have to destroy what's there to bring a new cycle of order that's going to be a new cycle of order for all the people who are in a state of revolution.
Now, a lot of people use all kinds of different metaphors, as we've just, you know, as you've just shared with the goblet and the tuning fork. What came to mind as you were sharing that was in our modern day vernacular, as computers begin to grow and expand and so forth, I need to install and save more data, but my hard drive won't hold it. Now, there's nothing wrong with the hard drive. It's perfectly fine, but it doesn't have the capacity to take on any more information, so it locks up. Well, there is still a way to retrieve that data and transfer it to something larger and then add more information to it. And
right.
It's not quite the same as what you're referring to, because I think yours is maybe more apropos. I do find it interesting that more and more people are beginning to discuss the subject. And there are those, matter of fact, I have not interviewed this woman, and I don't know that I will, because it's kind of a downer, but she has a website, and she talks about 2012 and the Mayan calendar and so forth. I still love my wife's interpretation of the Mayan calendar and its end date or how it comes to an end. And she says, this has nothing to do with prophecies. The guy that was doing the calendar just basically got fed up and says, I'm done. I'm out of here. I can't do this anymore. 25,000 years. I'm finished. But the thing about all of this is that people are talking about 2012 as somehow as it's the catalyst, when in fact the events have been unfolding for millennia cyclically, and we as human beings, because we need to have some kind of structure, some kind of order, as you have so eloquently used the word, in order to better judge it, define it, etc. So we put 2012 on it. Is that
right.
a fair assessment?
We don't know that it's 2012. I mean, that's our best guesstimate. The two things that we know about the Mayan calendar and the Mayan people, we know that they created calendars and that they had various calendars. They had like 17 different ways of calendaring life. And we as our society have created an interpretation of that, and said, okay, based upon our interpretation of their writings, we think that their calendar began on this date and ended on that date. We believe that it began in 3114 B.C. on August 11th. That's what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that it ends on December 21st, 2012. Well, that's a belief. I mean, it's a belief based on our interpretation of what is there.
Right.
Now, some people could say, well, I know how to interpret this, and, you know, everybody can, you know, pull out their credentials all they want, but credentials are only as good as the book you use to study how to get your credential.
Right.
So we don't know that to be true for a fact. The other thing that we know they have the calendars, and we know that they had a creation myth that was revolved around a ball court and the story of two kind of demigods, one of whom lost, they were twins, and one of whom lost his head, and supposedly his head was supposed to be part of this ball court, and that was the ball, and they played this creation game. We know those two things. That's all we know. other than that, everything else has been kind of an off-the-cuff guesstimate.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is be off by, you know, a year, and you're off by a year.
Yeah.
So it's part of the desire for the myth of the great ending that is constantly seen in the saga of humanity.
So,
it is everywhere.
So let me ask you, how does all of this with the Mayan calendar tie in with, let's say, because I would throw the same word believe in the context of the Book of Revelation in the Bible and the end of the world and Armageddon and all of this that we just had, and I'm trying to, Harold Camping tell us that the end of the world was coming, the rapture was coming on the 21st of May.
Right.
And as far as I know, it didn't happen, or I wasn't one of the chosen ones.
Right.
And then, of course, the out was, well, it's a range between the May and October.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I remember back in 88 and 89, a guy by the name of Edgar Wisenot, who has since passed away and now knows, he predicted 2 years running and then disappeared. And it didn't happen, as far as I know, again, or else I just wasn't one of the chosen. How do we does this really go to the root of what you just said, that we as a people, and is it based upon our religious indoctrination and or teachings, that we want an ending, that we're tired of the way things are, and so rather than reform or tear down and start over again, we just want to destroy it all and be done with it?
Well, part of it has to do with the way politics and religion is set up. Remember that everything that is constructed here from the quote-unquote powers that be sort of viewpoint is about power and control.
Mm-hmm.
And if we take something like the Book of Revelations or the Apocalypse, etc., and we think back to that time when St. John was writing that, most of the people at that time, your just average citizen, either couldn't read or didn't read much, didn't have access to books, etc. So there's this whole other culture from which all of this is derived. And when he or any other prophet is talking about something coming as an end, they're talking about really soon in their lifetime, just like Harold Camping was talking about, it's going to happen just any day.
Mm-hmm.
I am quite sure that he really believes it. I don't think he was trying to dupe anybody. I mean, he's just living in his own reality. He's
mm-hmm.
doing what he's doing. So all of these people believe, just like the Jews were looking for a Messiah, and Jesus comes along, and they think they found their Messiah, but to them the Messiah was going to make the Romans go away. We forget the environment that surrounds the connotation of the words, and we take it by the powers that be, the Catholic Church, all of the other churches, you know, whatever government is running whatever country, and they take these words and they make it appear as though it's meaning now, because it keeps the people in fear.
Mm.
If all of you do this, if all of you do that, then when this happens, you will be saved. You will be safe. You will go to heaven. You will be with your, you know, 100 virgins or whatever
mm-hmm.
Muslims believe in. I mean, it doesn't really make any difference what the religion is. And I'm not
right.
putting down any specific religion. It's all the same.
Yeah.
Just put a different name on it, and they have a different twist. But it's really about control. So when people are always looking for the quote-unquote ending, what they're actually looking for is, much like Harold Camping's rapture, they're looking for something that is going to save them from what they feel is the struggle of this world.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been as long as history goes back. You find it absolutely everywhere.
You know, that's an interesting paradox, because we don't like change as human beings. We want
right.
things to stay the same, and we want them in order.
Right.
At the same time, what you just stated is just the opposite. We want change. This is the way we want it. But we have trouble going from point A to point B. It's not so much point A or point B. It's the distance between the two that we don't want to just put us at point B right now,
right.
instantaneously.
Yeah.
We don't want to go through the process or the journey.
Right. Exactly. One of my students said to me once, if it's true, everybody I think knows the 100th monkey story
mm-hmm.
about, okay, if the 100th monkey story is true, then that means that we're all going to experience ascension by default if we don't do anything, that eventually everyone will just simply ascend.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to do anything at all. I'll just let everybody else do the work, and then I'll just ascend by default.
Okay.
Because of the monkey. And that's basically what you're saying, is, you know, I don't want to have to go through the process of it. I don't want to have to go through the experience of it. And yet everyone who is on the planet in this time, has chosen to come to the planet in this time, is here for a specific reason. And whatever the message, the passion, the desire to be here is what's contributing to the chaos that is the additional information that is going to make the quote-unquote change. And that's what I want to talk about at the summit. And that's what I'm saying, beyond chaos. Okay, once the information has literally finished coming into the system, and it never really fully finishes because then you just start another cycle, but mm-hmm. Let's just use those words. What are we going to be experiencing? What are we going to see? How are we going to be? That is up to us. We've never been at this place before, so it's incomprehensible. There is no way to know. Like you were saying, no one at the beginning of the show, no one knows about your trip to Ireland.
Right.
There is no way to know what it's going to be like because we haven't been there yet.
Right.
So the only thing that people can do is project what they would like to see into what they call their future and hope that that is what is going to happen. And yet whatever that hope is, whatever that projection is, it's based upon what's going on in their life right now. They don't know that when they get to, say, 5 years from now, that that's what they're going to want. And the Earth is going to be changed so drastically that all bets are off as to what we're going to be experiencing. This morning we just saw on the news that Mount Etna had another little explosion. And when it did, all the digital clocks in Sicily shifted 15 minutes.
What? Really?
Yes. Yes. And no one realized it until planes started being late, people got to work at the wrong time, all these things started happening, and people started comparing notes, and everybody's digital clocks had shifted 15 minutes.
Well, now that's extraordinary. I can understand an analog clock being affected, but
no,
a digital clock?
The digital clocks, right.
Wow.
And so, okay, of course, my scientific mind says, have to look into that. How did that happen?
Yeah.
But aside from that, the frequency, some frequency within the explosion of the volcano created this shift, we believe. Maybe it was something else. Maybe it was a quote-unquote coincidence. The two happened at the same time.
We don't know. Or as I like to use the word, coincidence.
Coincidence, exactly.
Yeah.
So if you just take a little thing like that,
mm-hmm.
then you realize that we don't know what the Earth is going to be like. Or if you think about the radiation that is now circling the Earth from Japan, and everyone's kind of, you know, in the United States turning their head as though it's not really here.
Yeah.
This is going to alter the species. So we don't have any way to know how or where we're going to be. What I want to create at the summit, and this is my intention and therefore I know it will happen, is that the people who are drawn to come to this conference, I'm calling it a convergence of enlightenment because only people who are ready for this step are going to come, is that I'm going to create a unified field with them so that we're all in the same field and we are going to go into our future. And we are going to see what that could potentially look like.
And this is taking place at the Green Valley Resort and Spa in St. George, Utah. Its summit is a time of community, bringing us together through intention in a gracious space designed to hold the frequencies of harmony, well-being, and wholeness. And this is going to be taking place in September, as a matter of fact, September 16th through the 18th, I believe, as my screen here says. Again, it is a full weekend with Master Teacher Tony Elizabeth Seurat, September 16th through the 18th. It is a Meta U. Now, this is interesting. Y-O and then capital U, Mastery School Conference. And we'll get into that when we come back. Because again, I'm all about defining terms, as we've been doing here, about chaos and so forth. Tony Elizabeth Seurat is my guest. I'm Richard Dugan, and I thank you so much for staying with us. We will be right back.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
And we are are back again here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and this is our segment where we talk with Beth McDonald, our AAA editor, and we're still talking an awful lot, Beth, about family, community, which is, of course, what Toni Elizabeth Surra is talking about in reference to her conference that is coming up September 16th through the 18th. It is called Summit 2000 Beyond Chaos, and we're going to discuss more of that with her as we continue here on the program. But we have been talking about this subject of sharing both wealth and the sacrifice and managing your expectations, mind your emotions, and also use your intuition. And I've used the term, I've said this probably more recently, more times recently on this program than before, that when you listen to your intuition and whatever you want to call it, that still small voice, it will never, ever, ever lead you astray. The key, though, Beth, if I'm correct, is it doesn't do any good to listen to it if you're not going to follow.
Right, or if it upsets you too much.
Now, that's an interesting perspective. I hadn't considered the possibility. Well, why would that upset me?
Well, sometimes we get information about people or situations that's hard to digest. For example, my mother, would always get information about deaths. And, that can be very hard if people are afraid of death or not prepared for it or that sort of a thing. When I was training, the people I worked with used to always tell me it is not hard to get information. It's not hard to use your intuition. It's often hard to handle what you get. We're such a good news culture.
Oh, I see what you mean. Okay.
We can handle those lottery numbers,
right,
or something good's going to happen. But if most of us really don't have the emotional capacity to deal with foreknowledge,
right,
of something that's bad or difficult. Look at our governments right now. We've known for years that we were in an unsustainable position. To be spending more than we're taking in is unsustainable. And so now, both as a nation and as a state and a city and a county and as families, we have to work together to figure that out.
It's really funny, too, because as I was growing up in my 20s and 30s, and I was discussing the issues of politics and budgets and all these kinds of things with all of the people that I was interviewing at that time, dealing with politics and so forth, I was always told that debt was good, that you don't want to pay off the national debt, and you don't, and I'm going, are you kidding me? I have 57 credit cards, and my monthly payments are $965, and I make $500 a month. Now, how is that good? It made no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, you said something very important that ties into what Toni said in our first segment about information. This conference, Summit 2012, Beyond Chaos, and she describes chaos not as chaos, as we would think. It's bad. It's terrible. We can't understand what's going on. She used a wonderful example, better than mine. You have a goblet that is tuned, and you have a tuning fork, say, to the letter C, and you strike the tuning fork, and it rings next to the goblet, shatters the goblet, which is perfectly tuned, but it can't handle the extra information.
Yeah. So
there's no chaos there.
Yeah.
There's no chaos there. It's the information that it can't handle. So we're here to help demystify as much as we can all of this information that's coming in that we're trying to understand. So tell us a little bit in our last couple of moments here about where the planets are and the mathematics of all of this.
Well, the trickiest thing for me is that there are going to be this coming week, three planets really close together in the sign of Pisces, which is the most sensitive of all the signs, the most emotional, and it also is the most intuitive. And all the three planets are the most intuitive planets, Neptune, Chiron, and the Moon. And so what that means is, you know, your third eye and your crown chakra, those are going to be open, full throttle, and there's going to be a lot of new information coming in, and it's going to be really important not to overreact, not to freak out. Remember, you prayed for this. This is, you're getting what you prayed for, and trust that it serves.
Yep.
And you know, your intuition is your friend. It's there to guide and direct and protect you.
Yeah.
And reach out. If things are too much, you know, reach out. Use your resources. Draw on your family members and the people that you love and trust, and your spiritual guider, the people who you turn to for spiritual and emotional support. It's nothing is wrong if you get information you don't like.
Right.
It's really, your information is your friend. It will not hurt you.
Well, and as we shared in the first segment, using the example of we're at point A and we want to be to point B,
exactly.
But we don't want to go through the journey between point A and point B. That's where the information is. And it's the only way we can get to point B. We have to go through. And we will be okay.
If
and
you're
again,
committed to those goals.
Right.
You know, sometimes this also helps as a clarifier. It's like, wow, I didn't want to go to Tucson after all.
Yeah.
You know, if this is what I have to do to get there,
yeah.
I'd rather go somewhere else.
Exactly. Good point.
Yeah.
And people can also go, point B, to BethMcDonaldConsulting.com and to get more information. And we will soon have these segments available up on the website at a separate page that people can go to and sort of do a... They can listen to these and sort of get a chronological perspective.
Yes.
All right. Beth McDonald, we will talk to you next week.
Awesome. Thank you, Richard.
You bet. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story. We'll be back in just a moment.
Tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
And we are back with Tony Elizabeth Seurat here on Tell Me Your Story. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. We come your way every Saturday, 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time, and stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. Now, Tony Elizabeth Seurat has a conference coming up. It's Summit 2012, Beyond Chaos. It's going on September 16th through the 18th. And it's going to be at it's going to be in St. George, Utah. You have plenty of time if this is something that you're drawn to, that you want to be a part of, a full weekend with Master Teacher Tony Elizabeth Seurat. You might want to check this out. And I would suggest the best place to go, because the link is there, Sacred Spaces WA, sacredspacesWA.com. And there is a link to Summit 2012. Now, you gave us a bit of a description, a brief description of what your intention is. What can someone expect on this weekend?
Well, one of the things that we are going to do is basically lift the veil between the confusion that people are in right now and what is possible for them to comprehend. I have an energetic way of relaxing people, which we will do together, that allows people to assimilate information even though they might be afraid. I know that sometimes, like Beth was saying, people don't necessarily want to know what's going to be coming, or they'll get an intuitive hit and go, oh, whoops. And the idea of coming to the conference is to remove, literally dissolve, the fear that is present about what might be happening. Another thing that people will experience is a release of the symptoms that so many people are having. You know, people talk a lot about the symptoms of the change.
Oh, yeah.
And all the different things are going, the pains, they can't sleep, etc. Again, we go back to all the old structures collapsing. So this includes your physiology. And one of the things that people will recognize when they're at the summit during that period of time, and that's one of the reasons I am so overjoyed to be doing it at Green Valley, because it's already, the essence of that vibration is already there, is that they will not be experiencing the symptoms they usually experience when they're home. All of the symptoms revolve around fear, and they revolve around constraint within the body. Our bodies only know one way to tell us when something's going on. Our bodies make us feel, and we either feel wonderful and healthy and vibrant, or we feel sick, tired, painful, etc. And it's the body saying something is off, something is off. And when people begin to perceive their life changing and they're afraid of the changes happening, then they begin to constrain the frequencies in their body, and then the communication of the body is something is wrong and makes it, you know, eating is difficult or the foods change or you can't sleep as well or whatever. What it's asking you to do is to stop and reassess what's happening in your life. So when we're at Green Valley, we're going to have an opportunity to go to a place that feels relaxed, in harmony, a state of well-being, and understanding what is possible for us, so that the idea of fear and confusion and chaos is no longer part of the mental construct.
As we define terms on this program, we hopefully do some demystification of those words. Now, when we do subjects on death and dying, I usually don't use those words. I use the word transitioning or even passing on. Are much less negatively charged than the other two words. And in a manner of speaking, that's kind of what you're doing as well. Though you're still using the words, you are working at getting people to understand there's a different way of looking at that word that doesn't have to be so charged energetically to the extent that you now have all of this fear built up around it and judgment and so forth.
Right, exactly. And also remembering that we are dealing here with the realm of the invisible. We're using words on this radio program, and people are listening with their physical ears, and yet we're talking about invisible concepts that are going to be made visible in our lives. Mm-hmm. So when we go into the invisible realm, then there is no time, and basically there is no space the way we know space. And within that, we're able to unlock invisible doors with invisible keys that people don't even know they have or hold.
Yeah.
The amount of quote-unquote epiphanies or breakthroughs or aha moments that people have the potential to have at the summit is off the charts, because the intention of the entire summit is how far can you allow yourself to go into a realm where you've never been before within your own heart, mind, and soul, and we will hold you while you do that, and we will do this together.
Now, what will they take away from this summit?
When people leave, I am telling them, and I'm putting this out of my advertising, that I promise people when they leave, they will know what they are, which is God in form, whatever that means to them, however they see that, and they will know how they want to go forward in their life right now. That means that some people might want to make changes. Some people might just be in appreciation of where they are. Some people might say, well, I'm going to just, you know, talk to my wife, my husband about this and see where we're going. Whatever issues are up, whatever things are sitting there on the back of the stove, you know, simmering away in the soup pot, are going to come forward, and we're going to take the lid off the soup pot, and we're going to let them be seen. So that they will have the fantastic experiences that all of my students have had who have taken my metaphysics course and have literally changed everything in their life so far off the scale that all we can do is laugh, because all of the dreams, the hopes, the anticipations of what is possible for you, they're not fly-by-night imaginatory aspects of you that aren't real. It's the passion of your soul. It is the passion of your heart. It is everything that's calling to you in this world. No one's ever given you permission to do this before. No one's ever given you permission to really say, okay, let it fly. What can I possibly do or be in my life? And that's the permission that people are going to realize they can give themselves without being afraid.
And that seems to be the crux, is the fear. That fear seems to be at the core of a lot of everything that is in a disarray. I'm not going to say chaos, because there's a difference.
Right.
There's a big difference in terms of what we've been talking about. And so people are very concerned. I mean, whether you want to talk about the political scheme of things around the world in the different various countries, or you want to talk about the economic scheme, or again, you know, go to any other level you want, there's disarray. And there are a lot of people that are having a lot of trouble with that. And you are providing this summit. You are encouraging people to participate in this summit in September. to help get beyond the disarray as well as the beyond the chaos or the influx of information, to expand their capacity to take the information in. And I have to say, I actually like this word. I wish I'd used it more often, to better grok it. Now, some people say, what the heck does that word mean?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have, I won't say you'll have to read A Stranger in a Strange Land, but that's where the word is used. It is beyond understanding. It is assimilating the information into every cell, into every atom of your being, to where, in essence, you sort of become the information.
Yes, I love the word grok. I read Stranger in a Strange Land. It's one of my favorite books.
I'm still reading it, and I started it 15 years ago.
I use that word a lot.
Well, it's an excellent word, and there's another word, and maybe, I don't know if you can incorporate this into what we're talking about, but there's another word that I find very interesting, and people are using it quite a bit, and that's the word zeitgeist, to describe what's happening, to describe the process. How would you define that word in light of this conversation?
Well, I like to see it. That word, I understand it, and I don't like it just because it's hard to say, and I can't easily get my tongue around it, so it doesn't make me feel happy inside.
Okay.
I'm all about being happy inside.
I understand.
So I like to talk about a new paradigm.
Okay.
A shift in paradigm. And that word's kind of getting beat up, like the word love and God get beat up.
And quantum.
Right. Yeah, and quantum gets beat up. It gets used so many times that they don't have any meaning anymore. So when you're talking about a new paradigm, it's actually about a new way of living. If you want to think about the paradigm of, say, the industrial age or the paradigm of the technological age, and we're coming into a paradigm of what I like to call the invisible age. We're making the invisible visible. And that's one of the reasons why people are seeing things that they weren't able to see before. They're hearing things they weren't able to hear, like Beth was talking about the sensitivity of the Pisces and the planets. And more people are becoming aware of things that they didn't realize before were there, mainly because their clair powers, so to speak, their extrasensory abilities are heightening up.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about extrasensory and paranormal as though it's some sort of, you know, hush-hush set of terms, and yet everyone experiences things that are outside of day-to-day five-sense reality constantly, and either brush them off or don't allow them to be part of the, you know, conversation of the day, because what's everybody going to think? And yet everybody's experiencing it. So much like using the word death and dying, it's almost a pejorative word. So when we go into a paradigm where we're making the invisible visible, then we're going to start seeing, experiencing, feeling, hearing things we've never heard before. Things are going to happen way outside of the realm of the common day-to-day. And this is the part that's interesting. It kind of goes back to you talking about the rapture. Only the people who are willing to experience it are going to consciously experience it. So those people who don't want to experience the new paradigm are not going to. For instance, all the baby boomers who don't like computers. There's tons of baby boomers who don't have computers.
Mm-hmm.
So in their world is quote-unquote smaller, if you want to just use that word nicely,
right,
than the world of people who do use computers. Our world is very big because we're connected to the whole planet constantly. It doesn't mean right or wrong, good or bad. It simply means that wherever you're focusing your attention and whatever you're opening yourself to is what you're going to experience.
Yeah.
So in the new paradigm, there are going to, people have said to me things like, well, if we're going through all these dimensions, what about the third dimension? I said, there's going to be tons of people still living in the third dimension. That's where they live. That's their reality of what we call the third dimension. And we who really want more and more capacity to understand and experience more and more, and we open that door, then we are going to be experiencing, as I said, the incomprehensible to us right now. That doesn't mean everyone is going to. Some people won't.
Right. And they don't have to. There's nobody saying that you have to do this or you have to do that, which I always found fascinating when it came to spirituality, or more appropriately, religion. I used to take the position as, okay, when it comes to food, there are millions and millions of choices of things you can eat and or drink. When it comes to education, you're told to go broaden your horizons and go to school and even go off to college and learn. And when it came to, again, all the different aspects of the human life, but when it came to spirituality, there was only one way. And if that's what you were born into, that's what you were taught, that there is only one way. And I thought, wait a minute, that's inconsistent. There's a disconnect in my head with only one way. Now, I struggle myself with even some of the ideas that I have in my own head, thinking that, well, you know, the rest of the world, if they would just get with the program and see things my way, this would just be a much better place. I'm not the only one that goes through that, I know. I'm not unique in that regard. But that's what, well, and I've shared this with our program, our listeners before, that that's one of the reasons why I was having problems back in November, December, January of this year with high blood pressure. I mean, they took all the tests, Tony. They couldn't find a reason. My cholesterol's fine. All of the other indicators are just fine. I says, I know the reason why. It's because I'm not handling the outside world as well as I used to. And I wasn't sure exactly what switch had been flipped that caused that. Needless to say, I'm getting back to where I was before that period of time. I don't know if my blood pressure is following me, but nonetheless, it's one of those things that we all struggle with. It, you know, if the world would just stop doing the things that they're doing, well, but they're doing them because that's what they know. That's what they've been taught. I remember coming here to Santa Barbara, California, and I would see some programs about school kids and bullying and so forth. And I thought, you mean they're still doing that today after 30 years? I've been out of school and they're still doing it? They haven't learned yet. And I was just like, wow. And well, because parents teach the children who grow up to be parents, teach the children. And it's until the adult becomes conscious enough to know there that this doesn't have to be, they continue to pass that on, just like, you know, the what's in their genes as far as far as the characteristics of the person that, that they're parenting. Before we wrap up our program, and we still have a good amount of time here, let me ask you, who is Tony Elizabeth Seurat?
I don't know. I'll go ask her.
Okay. That's pretty much the reaction I get from quite a few people, is laughter at first.
Well, I like to say I came prepackaged. You know, people will say, oh, tell us your story. You know, like your program, tell us your story. Tell us how you got to where you are. Well, I came this way. My earliest memories were of both sides of the veil, if just using those words. It was constantly, okay, I'm here, and then I'm there, I'm here, and then I'm there. And for a young child, that's fine for a while. And then I began to realize that the people that I was talking to here about the things there didn't understand what I was talking about and just basically thought I was making it up. So time went by, and by the time I was 12, I was raised in the Catholic Church, so I was extremely religious. I mean, Mass, communion every day. I went to Catholic school, so the church was right next door. I spent my recesses and my lunch hours in front of the statue of Mary on my knees. I was totally dedicated to the invisible, the way it was being presented to me, because it was the only place I could go that somebody wasn't telling me that I was making things up. So by the time I was 12, I had asked my mother if I could enter the cloister and just be a cloistered nun, because that was the only answer that I could see for resolution to my issue. And she asked the bishop, and he said, well, between my 9th and 10th school year, I could go ahead and go in for the summer and see if I liked it, see if it was something that I wanted to do. Well, I was just overjoyed. My mother, being the smart little lady that she was, simultaneously went out and bought horses. And at the dinner table the night she announced Bishop Green's decision, she also announced that she and my sister would be horseback riding all summer while I was in the cloister. well, what 12-year-old girl doesn't want a horse? So I just said, wait a minute, you know, where are we keeping horses? Oh, you know, the Goldie and her husband Tony out there, that farm that they have, they were friends of ours. They're keeping them for us, and we're just going to go out there and ride every day. So I decided that being able to ride in the Nevada desert, this was in Reno, Nevada, being able to ride in the Nevada desert for the summer would be tantamount to being in the cloister, and I did not go into the cloister, thank you, Mother, so that I did not end up completely buried within the Catholic Church. And continued on, finished my schooling, and moved to San Francisco, where I met a master teacher who had a holy order called the Holy Order of Mans, and it was a combination of Sufism and mysticism and Catholicism. So it was right up my alley. It was exactly what I needed to find someone who could speak my language and who understood. And Master Paul did. And he said, you know, I can take you further if you will join. So I did. And within a few months I was teaching. It was just like I had found home. And I was there for several years and then finally realized that I had gone as far as I possibly could there and that it was time for me to take it out to the world. So I left, and that's what I've been doing ever since. And, of course, the world changes and life changes. And for me, it's this ongoing adventure of finding ways to communicate now what I see in the invisible to the visible so that people understand it. And the more we change into this new paradigm that we're talking about, the more do I find more people able to understand me, people that you would never, ever think would understand what you were talking about. Really do. And it's so exciting.
Well, I have to say that the conversations that I've had with my parents and my mother in particular in the last, say, 10 or 15 years are nothing like I would have expected, you know, from parents. You know? I guess I see them more than just as parents. I don't see them just as parents. There's something very unique about them. Now, I remember my mother telling me that she knew that I was going to be special when I was conceived. Well, it turns out that she told each one of us that, but that's okay. That's okay.
Yay, Mom.
Because we were, each one of us, and we've taken on different paths and are doing what we're doing. But I think what's been so extraordinary for me is in spite of all of the challenges that I have faced in my life, I even call them perceived limitations, that I still find all of this so fascinating. And I remember sharing this with one of the programmers at the religious station I worked for, and they were talking about the end of the world and the second coming and so on and so forth and how great it's going to be. And I'm thinking, okay, how can I help to bring that about sooner? You know, I want to bring the chaos and the confusion and the destruction now so that we can get to that 1,000 years of peace. Mm-hmm. It just seemed like, let's do it. How do I help? How can I help make it happen now? If we have to go through it, then let's go through it. Let's go through it now. And a lot of people, again, they're just not interested in going through. They want to be at the other point now. They want to take the transporter, beam me over there so right. I don't have to deal with all of the stuff in between. But that's part of what makes us who we are.
Right.
Just like the Earth revolves around the sun and the solar system moves through the galaxy and it takes a path from one point to another as it moves along, it has to do that, and so do we. Before we wrap up our program, Tony, again, a reminder about the summit. Again, tell us quickly about Summit 2012 Beyond Chaos.
Okay, it's going to be held September 16th through the 18th in St. George, Utah, and at the Green Valley Spa and Hotel. The easiest way to find information that you can remember really easily, because my URL for my webpage is a little bit complex, is to go to youaresacred.com. Just spelled how you spell it, YOUARESACRED, youaresacred.com. And there is a link right there highlighted in bright yellow. And it just says click here. And that will take you to the summit page on my webpage.
And we look forward to seeing a lot of you there at the summit, September 16th through the 18th, 2011. And Tony Elizabeth Serra, I want to thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you, Richard, so much.
It's always a pleasure to have you and others talking about this subject to, again, remove that energetic veil on the subject. And we will be talking about it more and more as we continue. I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story. Join us again next Saturday at 3 p.m. Till then, love Talal.